Welcome to Combat Sports Talk, a podcast dedicated to UFC and Bellator discussion, the MMA community, and combat sports in general. I'm your host, Ryan Smith, and joining me this week is George G-Money Stallworth. What's up?
Oi.
All right. And John Keys to Victory Keys.
What it do, people?
All right. Kelechi is not with us tonight. He had a prior engagement that took him away from doing what he loves, and that is this show. I'm speaking for him, and now he is forced to have to say that every other time.
And don't worry, we're going to start a GoFundMe after the podcast, you know, to collect his bail money. He's going to be all right.
All right. Well, we have a great show for you guys tonight. This is going to really be about UFC 251. This is Fight Island, Yaz Island, however you want to say it. We got us something to talk about. It is this weekend. So let's get into the top story of the show. That is our headliner. All right, the top story of this week, this show, is we have us a main event. Kamaru Usman will take on Jorge Gamebred Masvidal in the main event of UFC 251 at Fight Island this weekend. What?
On the beach, in the octagon, with the Shao Kahn helmet. Somebody's wearing that Shao Kahn helmet. Might be Daniel Cormier. We do not know.
The fight that we didn't think we were going to get to see, of all fights.
So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a great fight. And so think about all the hurdles that we had to get in order to get here. Because just a few weeks ago, before this fight was announced, Jorge Masvidal and John Jones were upset about their pay, right? Mm-hmm. They were furious about their pay. And now you've got Jorge Masvidal in the main event. We weren't even going to have him on the main event because he didn't want to fight for what they were willing to pay. So they ended up bringing in Gilbert Burns, who is up and coming. He is the really the hot fighter right now. And so it was still going to be a good fight, but now, and
somehow
now we got us a great fight.
Well, somehow somebody came up with some money somewhere to say, "All right, man, here you go." How upset is Dana White right now? Because he had to eat his words. He had to eat it.
But see, that is the business, right? It's one of those things where why would he pay more for Jorge Masvidal when he's got Jorge Masvidal in a contract and he's got all the cards? But when you've got all this money riding on Fight Island, and your main event fighter is basically getting ready to can't fly to Abu Dhabi because, you know, people in his camp came down with COVID-19. Now you've got a pay-per-view on the line, and now you need to pay some money if you want to save it.
I'm sure it was a small digit with a lot of zeros behind it.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure.
Some people say that zeros don't account for nothing, but when you put them behind a number and before a decimal, yeah, they do. They count. They count a lot.
Exactly. So I'm curious.
Some people would just say that Jorge Masvidal made the absolute correct decision, like in terms of waiting this out and just seeing how it played out. Man, that was. If there's anybody who has had perfect timing over the last year and a half, it has been Jorge Masvidal. From the Ben Askren knockout to the knockout of, what's his name? The guy that moved to 185 now.
Darren Till.
Who?
Darren Till.
Darren Till. And then there was, what else? The whole BMF setup with the BMF belt beating Nate. The setup with... the guy that the two-piece in a soda comment, like, things have just really worked out well for him.
Leon Edwards.
Things have really worked out well for Jorge over the last year and a half, man. Like, he has had really, really great timing with everything he's done.
It's straight Jesus. What do you expect?
Man.
Have y'all seen his YouTube page? Like, his his YouTube account lately, man. He's blowing up over that as well. Like,
I can't.
but I think you do have a good point that he seems to be in the right place at the right time. I kind of agree with John in the fact that he took a big risk in being like, I'm willing to walk away if you're not going to pay me the money that I want to be paid. That's a big risk because he is signed to a contract. He just got signed to a new contract. And basically, while he is a big star, the UFC is the biggest place in town. Like, where are you going to go, Jorge? You know, you just going to stop fighting? What else can you do?
So we as the media have to recognize that the UFC is no longer the big game in town when it comes to paying fighters.
Yes, that is true. Okay, because there are
organizations out there that are paying their C-class fighters much better than the UFC.
Yeah, but you don't. There's two things that they bring. Okay, they bring challenges, and they bring prestige. That's what the UFC.
You're saying?
Yeah, that's what the UFC offers.
There's no doubt about that. If you want to fight the top talent in the world, if you want to fight the top name fighters, if you want the name recognition that you feel like you deserve, the UFC is the place to be. But if you want to get paid what you feel you're worth, the UFC might not necessarily be the best place for you.
Well, I mean, that's true. But that's if you're not Jorge Masvidal or John Jones or Conor McGregor. Once you reach that star level, then you go back to the UFC, right? Because at that point, the UFC is probably paying their stars more or at least as much as you would pay your other stars. The only stars that have left the UFC have been people who were on the decline.
You're right, but I'd be interested to see what someone like Bellator would pay a character like John Jones.
Oh, if they could acquire John Jones, I pretty much guarantee that they're going to pay way more than what he's making in UFC. But it could break them at the same time.
I don't know. They got that Viacom money.
Yeah, but Viacom ain't investing in it. I mean, that was the thing that we learned about Rory McDonald when he left the UFC and went to Bellator. He was like, you know, this place is kind of being hung together by bubblegum and duct tape. You know, Bellator is not getting, you know, the deep purse of Viacom. They're getting a budget. They're having to stick to the budget. And the fact is that where they're strong in fighter pay, they're missing out on things like production value. I mean, we can see the difference.
I don't disagree.
Yeah, I won't disagree either. But I think if they were to acquire a John Jones or even a Jorge Masvidal, I think Viacom would be like, you know, yeah.
Let me help you out.
Put that zero.
Let me a little bonus money.
Let me put a little zero behind that. You know, here you go. Just go ahead and do something with that.
I think
it would have.
I disagree with it just simply because of the fact that Dana White had it right. Tongue twister.
Dana White had it right.
when he said that Viacom, they're not, it's a media company. They're not fight fans. If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense.
Who owns the UFC right now?
He said this when the Fertitta brothers, when Viacom bought Bellator, that's when he said it. Now
I just asked a question. All you gotta do is answer.
Now Endeavor owns formerly WMEIMG. Endeavor owns the UFC. A bunch of media company.
What are they?
Non-fight fans.
All right. Just making sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's a recent development.
So it's you're not saying that
they've owned the UFC now going on what, three years?
Yes. In the course of a company that's been around for 25.
Okay, so what you're saying is that there is room for possible change if the situation presents itself.
I'm not ruling anything out, but all I'm saying is that if a John Jones or a Jorge Masvidal goes over there, it's not gonna close the gap between Bellator and UFC.
I bet it does. I bet it doesn't. I'll tell you why. Because we got a needle mover here. We have a person that forces evolution in a division. John Jones, love him, hate him, feel indifferent about him. He's that model of a fighter that forces evolution to happen in a division. He did for that division what George St. Pierre did for welterweights, what Anderson the Spider Silva did for middleweights, and we don't know who's doing it for heavyweights at this point.
Francis Ngannou?
Possibly. Possibly.
Yeah.
Oh, Francis is moving the middleweight, the heavyweight division.
But, it's what I'm saying. He is that person that could, wherever he's going to go, if he decides to leave UFC tomorrow, if he goes wherever he's going to go, he's going to force an evolution to happen. He's going to force it.
But are the fans going to come out to watch it? I mean, that's all I'm saying.
Yes. Yes. Because they want to see him maul through the division like he did in UFC.
Okay. I can see that. I definitely would be watching Bellator fights if John Jones was over there.
And remember, there was a lesser-known heavyweight fighter by the name of Fabricio Werdum that Dana White talked mad trash about when he went to Bellator until he defeated the last emperor, Fedor Emelianenko.
That wasn't Bellator. That was Strikeforce. And
Strikeforce,
UFC
excuse me.
Bought Strikeforce, and that's how Fabricio Werdum got into the UFC.
But he was talking trash all the way up to the point until he did it. So
didn't Fabricio actually win the heavyweight championship at UFC?
Yes, he did. He was a champion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's still a threat. That's what a lot of people don't realize. Fabricio Werdum is a threat. He's a big threat. He chunks boomerangs and stuff for his fatality.
All I'm saying is that the UFC has become the Kleenex of MMA.
Wow. Mm. Wow. Okay. That's kind of harsh, okay. Dude.
And so, as a marketer, I think that the brand that the UFC has is stronger and transcends John Jones. I think that what you will find is that people will be interested to see John Jones go over there. So that first fight when John Jones walked out at Bellator, it would be like, John Jones is here. And then what? Maybe he fights Ryan Bader and he just kills Ryan Bader. And everybody's like, oh, now what?
No, Bellator will be a lot smarter than that. They're going to offer him up a couple of sacrificial lambs first, and then they're going to give him the Bader fight.
We're talking about something.
We're supposed to be talking about UFC 251. We're supposed to be talking about Jorge Masvidal and Kamaru Usman, and we're sitting here.
And we over here talking about Bellator.
Talking about Bellator and how whether or not John Jones could save. Not like they're in trouble, but just like could make them the overtake UFC. And I'm just saying,
UFC. Yeah. All I'm saying
is a guy
like John Jones would definitely put more eyes on Bellator or whatever promotion he went to.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's motherhood and apple pie. Just saying, it's motherhood and apple pie. That's like saying, well, you know what? If I got an extra dollar, I would have more money. Yes, more eyes would go to Bellator, but we don't know how many, and we don't know for how long. So, that's the thing.
DC would be looking over there. Oh, okay, we know that. We know that. All right.
You know,
DC
so
will always be looking.
Let's hey, get back.
Hey, kitty cat, you still there? you know what really cracked me up about that host comment when John did that? DC answered. He said, "Yeah, I'm still here."
And if you go back, and this should be the last thing we should say about this whole situation. If you go back and actually look at their conversations after that, if you can tell me that they were not bitter lovers, sir, I would say that you really need to recheck your eyes and understand reading comprehension. Okay, those two were going back and forth like they were jilted lovers. Okay, and that love hate bromance that you see in anime often. Okay, like Sasuke and Naruto. There you go. That's who they remind me
okay,
of.
Okay, we are on Yaz Island. We are so far off now.
We're in Japan now.
We are on Fight Island. We are so far off the point now. We are going Japanese back to anime.
All right. Back to the island.
We are so
on John Jones and Bellator for 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's
literally. We're 15 minutes in and we're talking John Jones and Bellator and Naruto.
16, but nobody's counting. All right, so.
I'm just saying.
Back to the island.
We have Jorge Masvidal opening up as a 3-1 underdog to Kamaru Usman.
Which I find a little odd. So,
it's gotten a lot closer. I'm sorry to cut you off, George. That's actually gotten a lot closer to even now. Okay, and it has. I'm looking at Verdict now.
Which, by the way,
if you haven't joined Verdict to see all the losses that Ryan has accumulated,
I haven't accumulated any losses on Verdict because I don't play on Verdict anymore. I get too many wrong. All right, so I'm just done. I don't even look for me on Verdict.
Sounds a little salty, doesn't it? I know, man.
It's okay, man. That's bad for your blood sugar.
All right, I'm gonna make picks. I'm gonna make picks on Verdict this time for UFC 251. This card.
Why
is
you making those picks? I mean, you just grab your ears and go woosah.
Yeah, exactly. It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay.
I'm gonna calm it down. I'm gonna calm it down.
No money involved.
So
no money
speaking involved. Of your Verdict picks, Ryan, Kamaru Usman and Jorge Masvidal, who are you favoring in this fight?
We will pick that at the end of the show. Stay tuned.
I just want to see if you're going to change your mind later on. You
know. Oh,
listen. I've been.
You want to hear a little comment, a little more commentary on the odds? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. I always pick last, so I can hear what you have to say, and then I decide whether or not I believe you your expertise or not. That's all.
Well, you know, last week we made two picks that were absolutely wrong.
Y'all did, didn't y'all?
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. I don't recall. Last week was a long time ago.
All right. So anyway, back to it. So Jorge Masvidal, Kamaru Usman.
So Jorge Masvidal, the only way that they got that to happen is they re-signed a new contract. So now he's got a new contract. A bigger contract, yes. Happy Jorge Masvidal signs multi-fight contract. Glad UFC came to their senses. This is MMA Mania released the story. Basically, they signed him to a new contract. So he used the leverage that he had to not only get the fight, the main event fight, but he has a new multi-fight contract to go with it. So he is making bank now.
And Dana is mad now. Okay, he's extra mad. I think he is, because he was sticking to his guns all the way up to that point.
Yeah, he had just signed a new contract.
He did, like a year ago or so. And the fact is that when you're in a superior negotiation position, that
what you're saying is he had him by the balls.
I was trying not to say that, but yes, that's what I was saying.
Had him by the short hairs. Is that what
he's got? Dana's gonads.
Yes, he did. And so Dana had to come off that money, but I think it's going to work out for the better, right?
I think it will.
Well, absolutely. If Dana can finish up the contracted number of fights that he has with ESPN this year, so in regards to that, I think Jorge did the UFC a solid favor. He's like, look, man, you guys know y'all not going to make this. Let me jump in here and help you out. Resign this deal. And I'll fight a couple more times for you this year as well.
Yeah, but he did kind of open up the door by with Dana, what's the word? I won't say caving in, but submitting. I guess that's a harsher word, but we'll use submitting. Okay, submitting to the demands. He actually opened the door for other fighters to do the same. Okay.
Absolutely. Not only that, you'll need to be checking out whoever Jorge's management is. I think he's with First Round Management.
Yep.
So any other fighter on that squad now definitely has that door kicked wide open.
I don't think so. I think that any other fighter trying to pull what Jorge Masvidal pull, I think they're gonna get the door slammed in their face. Jorge Masvidal is the only person who could fight for the 170 title.
Mm-mm. No, my brother. Mm-mm.
Who else are you gonna
have? We could have found many different replacements. Number one, Jorge had the fight first and turned it down. So then they went to Gilbert Burns. Who's after Gilbert Burns?
I'll tell you that in just a second, Mr. Stallworth.
Good question. You're gonna bring Colby Covington back?
You got Leon Edwards. You got Colby. You got who else? You got several folks in there.
These guys
got
to be ready to fight, though.
Jorge's doing it on 6 days' notice.
Yeah, and here's the other thing too, is that you got to start looking at, is Leon Edwards as big a draw as Jorge Masvidal? No.
You know what?
Wait a minute.
No.
Oh, what?
No. He's not.
Yeah. Hold on. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. And I do hate to derail this conversation one more again. But I'm looking at UFC.com at their rankings. And, okay. All right. I'm sorry. Disregard. I totally got my eyes crossed. I'm sorry. Colby Covington is ranked number 2.
But he just fought Colby Covington.
Okay.
And it was a very good fight.
It was
a fight that we all would love to see again.
Exactly.
Okay.
Jorge steps in with what? 1-3 odds?
Yeah.
And well, we've heard through the grapevine that Colby used to ragdoll Jorge.
Oh, there's video.
There's video.
So here we are, and we have the fighter we love to hate, but we can't really deny his skill. Sitting there in the wings, and how much I hate to admit it, he probably would have been the guy we could have did a Usman Covington too, and we would have enjoyed seeing that.
Maybe it could have gotten Colby Covington. Okay, go next. Who else you got?
Then there's Leon Edwards.
Not a draw.
Let's see here. Tyron is number 5, but he's not in any condition.
Not eligible to fight.
Wonderboy Thompson is coming in at number 6.
When was the last time Wonderboy fought?
It doesn't matter. Not a draw. Can't fight now.
Not a draw. Mm-mm. This is the first fight. You're talking about the first fight on Yaz Island, on Fight Island. This is the first pay-per-view.
Hold on. I got you. What about your boy Jeff Neal? Is he a draw?
No. For me, yes, because he's a Dallas guy. But is he going to command to a pay-per-view 251 UFC 251 pay-per-view buys? No. No, he's not.
Well, here People comes are still one.
Just getting to know his name.
Okay, well, here comes one that everybody knows his name. And every time he fights, he seems to make a draw. And that's our boy Nate Diaz.
I knew he would get popped off in there.
Tell me he wouldn't get a draw.
Against Kamaru Usman?
Yes.
No. You guys, really?
I mean, no.
Okay, first of all, Nate Diaz versus Kamaru Usman is not a fight that is even going
to
be close.
Ryan is trying his best to play matchmaker.
I know.
I'm just saying, you had two people that could potentially do this fight. One is Jorge Masvidal. The other one, I'll accept Colby Covington. That's it. You go through that whole list.
That's
no
because
one
you're
else
saying
is going to
you
draw.
Need a certain dollar buy on a pay-per-view.
Yes. Yes, you
and
do.
We're saying the UFC doesn't need the dollar buy. What they need is X number of shows.
Exactly. And what we know is that the fans would love to see Usman beat the brakes off of Colby Covington.
Yes, and I didn't dispute that.
Or vice versa. You got fans out there that would love to see Colby win.
Yes, that is true. We have people who wants to see Leon Edwards get his face stuffed with a fist.
No. There aren't people who want to see that.
The other piece you're missing, Ms. Ryan, is this didn't have to be a 170 title fight.
Yeah,
they could have really just pulled this back and pulled out two other, you know, big names who would have brought in pay-per-view dollars.
Yeah.
I don't think so, because there's risk associated with it. The best you would be able to do is promote Holloway versus Volkanovski, or promote Peter Yan and Jose Aldo.
It's title fights.
But I'm just saying, you're trying you're to build. You're
acting like that. Go ahead, go ahead.
You're trying to build excitement about Fight Island and the fights that are going on. Three title fights. That's what it is that they are promoting. That's what they're showing. Your heaviest weight class that's available right now is welterweight. So, you know, at the end of the day, people like Max Holloway, but I can't tell you that that's a huge draw for the venue and the spectacle that they're trying to create.
It is.
I like those guys, but I'm just saying, if we're talking about casual fans, Max Holloway and Alexander Volkanovski isn't.
There isn't any of the sports being shown on TV right now.
Actually,
I beg to differ with you, Ryan. Like I don't feel the UFC has to draw these big pay-per-view numbers right now in this. They need to put shows on, period, so they can get this contract money from ESPN.
I'm not disputing that. You and I and we've talked about this multiple weeks on the show, how we've got to put the points on the board every single week in order to hit that magic number for ESPN to get that multi-million dollar contract payout. However, right. we have to begin to ask, given the fact that you had potentially Colby Covington, given the fact that you had all these other options, why would the UFC, they don't want to pay Jorge Masvidal more money because they've already got him on a new contract, why would they go so far as to give him a brand new multi-million dollar year contract or fight contract and put him in that fight? Why would they go through all of those hoops when they have the better negotiation position if they had all these other options available to them?
Maybe they made a bad decision. They should have stuck to the hard line and say, you know what, we're going with some whatever fight. We're going with a less spectacular fight. They should have stuck to their hard line. And they didn't. They made a mistake. Now that opens the door for everybody else. But I really feel like we're 30 minutes into the show and we're still on the headline. We might need to be moving on.
Okay.
Oh, there's a headline here that Mr. Stallworth wants to see. Okay. I'm curious now.
All right. Let's go into it. This is Fighting the Angles. This is Fighting the Angles. This is where we talk about the other topics and headlines that are making waves in the UFC world. The first thing that we really want to talk about, and this could have easily been the headline for the show, and probably we would have gotten through that segment a lot quicker if we would have led with the death of Khabib Nurmagomedov's father. Abdulnemat Nurmagomedov passed away in a Moscow hospital on Friday, July the 3rd. And it was following complications caused by coronavirus infection. And so, you know, one of the things that's really been a divisive topic here in the United States is the fact that people are dying from other means, but they are being counted as coronavirus deaths because of the fact that the additional stress that coronavirus puts on the body then puts the body in a situation where some of these other lingering issues that a person may have is the thing that ultimately kills them. And so that's basically what happened with Khabib Nurmagomedov's father, is that he suffered two strokes, one in his heart, I guess a heart attack, and in his brain. They managed to treat the heart attack. They couldn't treat his brain. He never emerged from the coma, and then he died. So, you know, my heart goes out to Khabib Nurmagomedov. We know how big a role his father played in his development as one of the greatest fighters that exist on the planet, if not pound for pound, at least when you get to 155 pounds, there isn't a finer fighter out there than Khabib Nurmagomedov, and that's coming from a guy who is on the Tony Ferguson train.
Yeah. This sucks. I mean, seriously. I mean, it's not... When you have somebody that's that much of an influence in your life, be it your parent or a mentor or anything like that, to have them pass, that takes a part of you, that takes a part of your soul that may or may not be able to be recovered. My heart's out for him. You know, God bless that man, and you know, just know that his father isn't suffering, and he's in a much better place.
The MMA community also spoke out in support of Khabib Nurmagomedov. We've got the UFC, Dana White, Ali, Abdelaziz, even Conor McGregor. And remember, Conor really had to kind of come back because he was using Khabib Nurmagomedov's father's illness as a way to get at Khabib. And so in learning now that ultimately his father died from this illness, even Conor McGregor had to step back and reevaluate. And, you know, it's kind of sad because of the fact that Conor himself had family lost due to coronavirus. You got Tony Ferguson, yeah. Of course, Daniel Cormier, Coach Kavanaugh, which is Conor's coach, Max Holloway, CM Punk, Justin Gaethje, Marlon Moraes, John Anik. Just the list goes on and on and on. Clearly, the MMA world understood the significance of Khabib's father in not only his career, but in the career of many of the fighters like Zabit Magomedsharipov and other fighters coming from Dagestan, and just what he's done, you know, to bring the MMA world to that part of Russia. It truly is a loss for the MMA world.
Yeah.
Not only that, we've also got fighters who are still coming down with COVID-19. So, you know, the next big fight is July 15th, also on Fight Island. Anderson Dos Santos has been pulled from that card, as well as his teammate Vinicius Mojea. Carla Esparza's fight has been canceled on the same card because Mahina Rodriguez also came down with COVID-19. We know that Brazil has proven itself to be a huge hotspot right now for new cases of COVID-19. And so a lot of these fighters are being tested before they fly over to Abu Dhabi, and it's not just them every time. And as in the case of Gilbert Burns, Gilbert was fine, but it's someone in his camp that was tested and was tested positive. So everyone has to be quarantined at that point. So, you know, it's a huge risk, and the UFC appears to be going through this with a fine-tooth comb to make sure that nobody tests positive before getting on that plane and flying to Fight Island.
I just want to be clear on this. So did Gilbert actually test positive or just his camp?
Yeah, someone in his camp tested positive.
Okay.
So the thought is that if someone in his camp tested positive, then it's only a matter of time before he comes down with it. Just given the infection vector that that a person can have, you know, in a very closed space, then it's highly likely that he'll come down with it at some point. And you just don't want, because the incubation period is 14 days, you don't want him to get over there and then comes down with the illness, and we don't know how many people he's come in contact with in the meantime.
People gonna learn this ain't a joke.
So speaking of learning that it's not a joke, Brendan Schaub thinks it's a joke.
Well, consider the source.
Ye old glass jaw. Brendan Schaub thinks it's a joke. Basically, he and his comedy people, Brian Callen, who's one of his co-hosts for The Fighter and the Kid, they went all through Texas doing shows, meeting people, getting all up close, not wearing masks and all that kind of stuff. Brendan Schaub got it. He's talking like, oh, well, it's nothing. I've been on IVs and I'm feeling fine. I've almost beat it in 3 days. Kind of thing, which is uncommon.
Well, no, it's actually kind of common that folks feel fine after like 3 or 4 days, and then it doubles back on them.
Yeah.
So
that's what he doesn't know. He got hit with the left and was like, ah, UH, and then he comes with the right, and then he's gonna be dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I don't know that the MMA world will come out as strongly for the death of Brendan Schaub as they did for Khabib Nurmagomedov's father.
Kind of cold-blooded, but okay.
Listen,
kind of cold-blooded.
Schaub is highly, highly loved and regarded by fighters, though, because one, he was a fighter. Two, he is all about fighters' rights, fighter support, and fighter pay.
I'm not saying that Dana White's going to be all teared up.
No, Dana will be.
Even though they are two-step,
even though they're Eskimo brothers,
if
right?
It's Eskimo
See, yeah, we can it say that on the show.
It's going to be very interesting to see which one cries, if the third party involved actually will shed a tear about it.
Oof.
Then we'll know.
Well,
then we'll know.
I'm not going to say anything.
No, we're not gonna say anything.
I just know somebody might not be happy if that third party sheds a tear. Someone might not be happy.
Happy. Is that what you're trying to say?
Happy. Yeah.
Happy. Yeah. Yeah. We're just saying.
Okay.
Might get a little rowdy about it.
Oof.
But, you know. Well.
See, Kelechi is going to wish he was on this show. This is a good one right here.
Ooh. All right. Moving on. Let's move on.
So here's the thing. So it was announced. That wasn't announced, but there was a conversation that said that the UFC could let VIP fans attend Fight Island shows.
Which is
crazy to me. Like you would still like you have this place that is basically disinfected. You've got all these protocols to make sure all of these fighters and all these fights are going to come in and have a safe place. And now you're thinking, well, you know what we could do? We could make some VIP experiences by letting high profile fans come in and watch the fights live on the beach.
You know what this really is. Come on, I don't know why y'all playing. All this means is the prince, the king, and the sultan will be able to come to the fights. That's all it is. This is not Jeffrey Epstein and Bill Clinton flying in for the fights.
This is totally Saudi.
Where'd that come from?
Interestingly enough, the COO of the UFC is a gentleman by the name of Lawrence Epstein. Just saying.
Yeah, you know, I did see that, and I was like, "Are we pranking Ryan on this or not?" Because I saw, I was like, "Oh!" But you know, I'm glad you called that out.
Yeah. So, one other thing is they are fighting in the full size octagon as opposed to the reduced size Apex. So this will be a full-size UFC octagon on the beach this Saturday, y'all.
Somebody's going to have a Shao Kahn helmet, I'm telling
it's
you.
It's not. So
DC.
I think that it's also having to do with them trying to find other revenue streams because, remember, parent company is still suffering major financial challenges. UFC is still relatively solvent because as big as they are from a brand perspective, They're only like a 300-person company.
That's still impressive for the numbers that they pull in, the money that they pull in. 100%.
But, You know, that's the thing that's amazing about it is I think Dana White said they were like 300 people is the UFC on from a day-to-day operation, right? Whereas the parent company is a massive conglomerate. And, you know, when it's an entertainment business and COVID-19 is shutting everything down, it's really hard to make money. And so I think the UFC is trying to do its part to try to help the company get solvent. And that is perhaps doing these VIP experiences means that they can really charge somebody a couple of million dollars.
They could. And I mean, how many members are in the, how many sheiks are in the royal family? I think it's like 100 and something. So if you do like, and they love their combat. So let's put it out there. The sheiks and the royal family love combat. So if you have, let's say, 135 princes just chilling.
Paying $100 each.
And $1 million each, I think we'll be okay. I think, you know, I may not like it. And I would say y'all are going to get the most rigorous, coronavirus testing that we have. We're not going to go through the swab, through the throat. No, you're going straight nasal test for every hour for the first 24. And maybe then. I would let this slide.
You lost me there. But that's okay. What? Because the other place that UFC is trying to make their money is that they announced in August they are raising the price of ESPN Plus. It's going from $4.99 a month to $5.99 a month.
So
they're charging everybody an extra dollar. But remember, you have to have ESPN Plus to get the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. So that's extra dollar is going to get that $1 per person is relatively small to us, but the number of people who have ESPN Plus is going to be a huge windfall for the UFC. They are really trying to make that money back that they're losing in not having these fights over those few months.
Oh no, I'm kind of interested in how many subscribers they actually have.
Because remember, this would be a monthly. This is a recurring revenue. Every month, you'd get. What is it? My guess is they've got at least a subscriber base of 1 million people.
Let's see here. How to 2 million actually? 2 million. Okay.
So raising it a dollar gives them an extra $2 million a month. That right there. Pays all the fans on all the fighters on a card.
Now, let's see here. I'm wondering because ESPN Plus also benefits from massive audience across various channels to which it can promote ESPN. Now we're going to talk about everybody because everybody, the cable networks has 86 million subscribers. The website and mobile app reach 115 million people in any given month. So are we going to add those cats in there too? Because just the 2 million. Okay.
No, it'd be the 2 million because those are the people who are paying the recurring revenue, right? That's the people who are actually paying for a service. The people who come in on ESPN or on some of their other properties, those are, you know, that's just ad revenue. But that's not going to the UFC. That's going to ESPN.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to throw out another number for you. The 2 million was back in quarter two of 2019. Quarter two of 2020, 7.9 million right now.
Well, there you have it. Think about that. An extra $7.9 million a month.
Chilling.
By raising the dollar. $1.
That might be. That may be Jorge Masvidal's new contract right there.
Well, you know, not everybody can be Jorge Masvidal, and Sean O'Malley is definitely not the street Jesus. And so, therefore, he is trying to find ways for him to make more money as he's climbing that ladder in hopes that someday he might be able to command the type of revenue that Jorge Masvidal did. So what he's doing is he's starting a personal clothing line. And this is something that I think that other fighters can catch on to. We know that fighters have to wear the UFC fight kit. And they don't get the ad revenue and the money from the sales of all the other stuff. So O'Malley was saying that, you know, he got like $3,000 or $5,000 for all of the stuff that the sponsorship that the Reebok offers. Now, if you think about how much a headliner like Jon Jones or Conor McGregor get, I mean, it's you're talking of peanuts to Sean O'Malley. So what he's doing is he's starting his own clothing line that he is in control of, and so that people can buy his stuff from him. Now, while he can't wear it when he's in official capacity at the UFC or whatever, when he's anywhere else, he can wear his Sean O'Malley gear, and if people are buying it, that could be new revenue streams. So when you have someone like, a mid-tier fighter, you know, they could start their own company, get with some designers, have some T-shirts made, and just brand themselves a T-shirt that people can go and buy and wear to the UFC events, and then they don't have to buy the Reebok or Nike or Under Armour or Venom, whatever, whoever ends up getting the new deal, if they don't want to. I actually like that because it subverts the limitation on getting sponsors.
Yeah.
Go ahead, George. Go ahead.
I was going to say, smart on Sean O'Malley to be one of the first ones to do it too, because you got a lot of fighters out there who aren't, you know, capable of starting their own clothing line, but they could sign on and wear. He is kind of like Jordan did with Jumpman. He had all these other basketball players wearing his gear. So it's just a thought.
There you go.
I mean, that would be the only thing that I would be like, how would he do this? Is how would he market himself outside? And I'm thinking there's Instagram, there's all the social media out there. Yeah, well, he'll be all right. Not only
that, there are certain events at the UFC that there's press or whatever for that you still can wear other clothing for. You get what I'm saying? Like, I think the official things that you have to wear Reebok for would be anything where you're on a stage before frontman, but any of your interviews while you're on your way to Fight Island, any of your interviews while you're at Fight Island, things like that. Those are times when you're still in plain clothes.
Yeah.
And so those are your opportunities to prop up those other little brands or whatever, or your own brand per se. Mm-hmm. So very smart move by Sean O'Malley or whoever his management team is. That, you know, that I think that is definitely some revenue dollars that are left on the table and unexplored.
Speaking of revenue dollars that are unexplored, Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder 3.
Mm.
We hadn't talked about boxing in a long time, but when you start talking about big money, you start talking about real big money. Jorge Masvidal and his multi-fight contract ain't touching what Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder would make for their third for their trilogy fight.
And yeah,
they're saying that it might take place in December this year.
Wow.
At the Allegiant Stadium, where the Las Vegas Raiders are going to be playing. The UFC has been coveting this spot. They were looking for the biggest card that they could find to potentially fill that stadium for that fight. We're talking about Conor McGregor level. We're talking about Jon Jones level fights. And it looks like the first one that's going to get there is Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury.
That makes sense. I don't think the boxing was going to let UFC steal that thunder.
Well, that's the thing, right? Is, you know, when Dana White decided that he was going to do the fights in Florida, Bob Arun, who is kind of the Dana
Bob
White?
Who?
Aaron.
Say it like you said it the first time.
No.
Say it.
It didn't get recorded either. It blooped out. My mic is cutting out. Anyway, Bob, the promoter, talked some major crap about Dana White and what he was trying to do. So a rivalry has sprung up between the two. So
it's been longstanding. There's history between Bob and Dana.
And how would you say his last name?
Aram.
That's what I said.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
As you said, no.
Right. Anyway, there is. And so to get that boxing match in Allegiant Stadium before the UFC can get a card in there is definitely a thumb in the eye. And John Jones knows a lot about that.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, boxing and UFC have had a long-standing rivalry. It's almost as long as PlayStation and Xbox. I mean, honestly, one will get the come up on the other. Right now, UFC is winning because they're putting on events while boxing is still on the slide. However,
actually, boxing is putting on events. You're just not hearing about them. I watched several fights over the past month, boxing wise. There were, you know, new fights that, you know, during the pandemic, but we're just not hearing about it in the same manner.
Ooh. So that's really just irritating him right now.
There just hasn't been that one big fight yet. Yeah. So, yeah.
All right. Well, there you have it. That is Finding the Angles. We've got one segment left, and that is the fight card. This is where we make our picks for the fights this weekend. Here we go. This is the fight card. All right, we've got UFC 251, Usman versus Masvidal, Saturday, July 11th, 2020, at Fight Island. I'm not going to call it Yaz Island. That's what it is formerly known as, Yaz Island. It's Fight Island in Abu Dhabi.
We're taking it over. Okay, we're taking it over.
I like that. Octagon on the beach.
I feel just the opposite. I feel like we've been here before. Dana White trolled us.
He did.
He trolled us, man.
How you figure? He told us what was
because
gonna happen.
Because, one, they've had fights on Yaz Island previously. Two, the build-up and hype to this was, you know, I almost felt like we were going to be in some tropical paradise somewhere here off in our hemisphere. And no, we're over in Abu Dhabi. Don't get me wrong. Abu Dhabi is a great place.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, the build-up to Fight Island and then to find out it was Yaz Island, it's kind of a letdown.
There's a difference. There's a difference. Because when we came here, when the UFC came to Abu Dhabi before, they fought in the same spot where professional wrestlers fought, where they do the Abu Dhabi Combat Club grappling tournaments at.
The ADCC.
Yes, the ADCC.
AD standing for Abu Dhabi.
Yes. And now UFC is like, no, we're not doing that. We're going to put it on the island like some 90s kung fu flick, and we're going to make it go down like that. That's what I'm talking about. That's all the hype I need. And you know, even though I do appreciate the Apex Octagon, I thought that made for a more interesting combat venue. I'll take the regular Octagon again. So let's go ahead and go in there. I hope Bolo Young is part of the VIP. Bolo Young and Jean-Claude Van Damme, they could be a part of the VIP. That's what you need. You need them at the entrance doing like the pat downs and everything. That's it. They could do that. They could do that.
Yeah.
Because Jean-Claude was a legitimate full contact fighter. He knows how to pat people down. He knows what he needs to do. There you go, Dana. You're welcome.
To your go ahead.
What?
Did you say that what's his name was a legitimate contact fighter?
He was a full contact fighter. He went 141-1, I believe. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people was trying to debunk that for years because they were like, there is no Jean-Claude Van Damme. However, he used a different name. He actually shortened his name. And that's when they found his record. And they're like, oh, God, yes, this guy actually is a full contact fighter. Now, full contact is different from point fighting. Don't give me that look. All right.
Point fighting is touch and stop. Touch and stop. I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
full
yeah.
Full contact is more like
we're getting it on. And you, and if we fall down, I'll pick you back up, and we'll continue to beat the crap out of you.
140 fight record.
41. Let me verify that. It's fairly high.
We're gonna hit this up on after the bell.
All right. Go ahead. Hit this up on after the bell. But go ahead. Go right ahead.
Anyway,
yeah.
So we were back at 251 and the fight card that's coming up on Yaz Island in Abu Dhabi, also known as Fight Island. Amanda Ribas versus Paige VanZant. Gentlemen, what are your thoughts?
You know, I have
at 125.
I have always supported Paige VanZant, but you know I jumped off the hype train. So I'm going Amanda Ribas. There you go. I got her in any way, form or fashion that she can get it done. Beat Paige VanZant. There you go.
Wow.
Is fighting out her contract and going to test the market for free agency. We had this conversation last week.
Bye-bye.
Oh, really? Ryan says bye-bye.
Wow.
Bye-bye. Don't nobody care about Paige VanZant. She can go to Bellator, see what she can do there.
Yeah, that's why they put her on 251. You know, the big Fight Island card. Yeah, nobody cares about her.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like she got, like, how many Instagram followers there?
Get him, John. Get him.
Social media.
Who you got? Are you back in Paige VanZant? PVZ?
I'm back in Paige. I'm with PVZ.
Okay.
I don't know. I put it to a draw.
You can't put it to a draw. Okay. Talking about.
That's an actual outcome of a fight.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I don't have enough information on Ribas. I don't. And Paige has been out of fighting for a minute. I don't think her heart's in it anymore. That's the thing. I want to say it's in there. I really do, but I don't think 12 gauge has got it. She ain't got the buck, like the buckshot like she used to have.
The world. Y'all gonna be like,
oh, I hope so. I honestly want her to, because
Who you got?
I just told you, PVZ.
I know, I'm talking about John Keys.
He told you. He said he thinks it's gonna be a draw.
You're gonna have a draw.
In my heart. Okay, if I gotta choose one.
If you're playing roulette, can you bet on zero? On roulette.
The gun can actually what do you call it? Misfire or get stuck. Yeah.
But if I got to choose one, if I just have to choose one, I'm going to choose Paige VanZant. But ultimately, I have to look at the weigh-in, because the weigh-in tells it all. It will tell you if she's got the heart or not. Okay? You'll know, because he or she, in this case, flinches first, has already died.
Mm. Next fight up on the card at 115 pounds. It's a rematch, folks. We are running it back. Jessica Andrade, who happened to thump Thug Namajunas on her head the last time they met.
Pile driver, so baby.
Thug Rose versus Jessica Andrade, or Jessica Pile Driver Andrade.
Ooh. I chose Thug. I'm not even going front. I chose Thug.
A lot of people forget their last fight that Rose was jacking her up until she got thumped on her head.
See, you call it a thump. That was not a thump. A thump is she got turned into the letter, into a capital L, literally, in that
slammed corner. Into the earth.
She got put in there. She got turned into a letter that we see on Sesame Street, man. Okay? Wow. It was bad. It was really bad. But somehow it hit her reset button and she's ready to rock now. So I'm good with it.
Well, this is her first fight back since being body slammed into the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we shall see.
Yes.
Ryan?
I agree with you. Rose was winning that fight till I went back and watched it. There was some commentary. Basically, Rose made a strategic mistake and didn't let go of she was attempting, I think, was an armbar at the time.
Yeah.
And when Jessica Andrade shifted, Rose didn't adjust, and that's what put her in the position. I don't think she's going to make a mistake like that again. So I like Rose winning this fight. So I got Rose.
All right.
You got to tell us who you got, Mr. Stallworth.
Thug Rose.
All right.
Thug Rose.
All right, what's about the next one?
So the next one is at 135. We've got Jose Aldo making his debut.
Jose?
His professional. Jose. Your mama named you Jose. I'm calling you Jose.
All right, don't say it. I would say, but you can say it to his face, because, you know, yeah, but I can't. So.
At 145, he's Jose. At 135, he's Jose.
Oh, wow.
Jose
Aldo versus Peter Yan. this one is a fight card for the fans, ladies and gentlemen. If you hadn't seen Peter Young get out there and shred his stuff in the octagon yet, you need to. And most of you are already familiar with Jose Aldo. What are your picks, gentlemen?
I'm going with Peter Young. I am on the train. I believe the hype. It is I think he's gonna get the finish. I think he's gonna finish Jose Aldo.
Wow.
Yeah, I agree. I see Yan doing it. I really do. I mean, Jose's done it. He's not hungry like he was. He was not hungry, Jose Aldo, that junior that we saw coming up and taking the title. And he hasn't been that hungry since, because he just doesn't have to be that hungry anymore.
John?
Yeah.
I'm going to need you to smack yourself. He is so hungry for this. He dropped to 135 pounds and didn't do it just through a weight cut. He literally got himself down to 135 a legitimate way. Like, if that doesn't tell you how hungry he is for this, that he wants a second run at the limelight, that he's out here trying to do great things still, like this is a rebirth of his career. Yeah, he took the Marlon Moraes, Mahis loss, but we all know that wasn't actually a loss. Even Dana White said
it was a loss. I had him losing that fight.
He looked good at 135 so far.
I hope you're right.
This is actually his third attempt at 135. I think he had another fight that got canceled or pulled because of COVID. So this isn't even his second time making 135. So, mm-hmm.
Well, and I hope you're right. I really do, George. But I don't.
I hope you're right. I really do, George. But
I'm sorry. Everything before the butt. Yeah, I forgot. But yeah.
All right. So right now, George, you got paid. You got PVZ. You got Rose and Jose.
I love how you called out mine.
Yeah, I know.
Because I think I'm gonna beat you this week. Just saying.
I bet you do think that. A lot of people have thought that. Guess what?
I don't know. Go ahead. Keep go ahead.
Next up on our card, gentlemen, we're looking at a belt, 145. Champion Alexander Volkanovski versus the former champion Max Holloway.
Blessed.
I almost said something else.
Don't say it.
Brain damage.
Ooh, CTE. Max is gonna take this one. I don't see him making the mistakes that he did. He's really gonna go in there. He's gonna come in there clean. He's gonna do it technical. He's not going to give Volkanovski the opportunities that he had in the last fight.
What mistakes do you feel like he made last go round?
Absolutely none. And I don't know exactly what he's gonna correct, to be quite honest. But we're gonna see a better version, I believe, of Max. I think he's going to push harder. I mean, he has to. He's going to have to push harder. He's going to punch more, get hit less. We know that's not his style, because he tends to punch more, gets hit, gets angry, and punch even more after that.
All right, Ryan?
Well, I'm going to tell you like this. I completely disagree with you, John.
Okay.
Alex Volkanovski is a kickboxer. Max Holloway is a boxer. And those leg kicks that Max Holloway took in the first fight made the difference. It made the difference in the fight. By the time you got to the end of the fight, that it was clear that, I mean, this fight wasn't even close. There was no doubt. Alexander Volkanovski left no doubt that he was going to win that title that night. And so I don't see what Max Holloway is going to do that's any different. When I looked at Alexander Volkanovski, while he doesn't have the height that Max Holloway does, that dude is bigger than Max Holloway.
Yes.
He is just a physical specimen bigger than Max Holloway. And I don't see Max being able to do what he's done to other fighters, to Alexander Volkanovski. So I have Alexander Volkanovski. I think it's going to go five rounds, but I don't see Max Holloway doing anything, changing anything that's going to make a material difference in the outcome of this fight. Your turn, Mr. Stallworth.
I feel a little animosity in this area for some reason.
Actually, I like the fact that he's reading the things, because then I get to be on the other side for once. So this is nice.
Oh, you get to play the heel. You get to play the heel. Is that what you're saying?
See, me and Curtis Blades, we like it. I like it.
So this one I think is a very interesting fight. We all, of course, know it's a rematch, and Max Holloway definitely had some things he needed to fix off of that last fight. Number one was checking the leg kicks. And I think Max is going to have a hard time doing that. It's just not, you know, not in his game at all. And it's hard to put something like that in your game over a 3-month period, especially when you're going against the caliber of fighter that Alex is. And if you Alex may seem new to your casual fan, but this cat has been around. This cat has been doing this for a while, and he is not new to this. This is honestly just the evolution of where this man was going all along. If you go back and check him out, I mean, there was episodes of him back on, I think, over at Tiger Muay Thai. You guys can go find online. And they told you way back then that he was going to be a champion in the UFC. So this is not a far stretch for Alex, and I think he's going to be there for a while, man. So my pick on this one is going to be Alex again, and I think he's going to finish Max. I think he's going to come in a lot hungrier, because he's been disrespected as a champion so far. People feel like he's there as a fluke because they don't know him. I'm talking about your casual fan. They don't know him. They have no history on him. Nobody's seen his wrestling. Nobody's seen his jiu-jitsu. All they saw was his leg kicks. He actually can box as well. So I'm looking at your boy Alex to run away with this one this time and really shut down your casual fan and put a stamp on it and finish Max Holloway.
You know what my mom used to tell me? She used to be like, hide and watch. To the casual fan, hide and watch. Mm-hmm. See what Alexander Volkanovski is going to do. All right, main event of the evening.
Oh, you calling this one or you want me to?
No, you got this.
apparently not. I mean, you open up and start calling
it. I'm excited. Why can't I be excited? I'm excited.
Main event of the evening, ladies and gentlemen, at 170 pounds, we have your UFC welterweight champion, Kamaru Usman, defending his title for the second time. He defended against Kobe.
Yep.
Defending his title for the second time. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, that was only 30% versus Jorge Street Jesus Masvidal. Dana White's nemesis right now.
Well, it might be his nemesis, but they might a friend. The enemy of my the enemy is my friend. I do believe. I know. I don't know how Dana feels about Kamaru right now.
I can tell you how he feels about Kamaru.
Hold on, we are a PG-13 kind of place. All right,
he's just 30%.
Yeah, I don't know. Kamaru cannot take him for granted because it's only been a week. Okay, Kamaru cannot do that. Jorge is an anomaly. A lot of people say he shouldn't be in this position, but here he is. Every time that they said that he cannot, you cannot be here. He has been there, much like Jesus.
Kimbo Slice. It's looking down from heaven.
Oh, he's
right
smiling.
Now. Probably got his arms wrapped around Jesus and some other saint, prophet, or whatever. And, you know, heaping levels upon levels of blessings upon Jorge.
With that half-shaped chest. Anyway.
So you got who on this one, John?
I got Kamaru. I got Kamaru.
He said all that stuff about Masvidal. He's like, no, don't get it twisted. I got Kamaru Usman.
Hey, I'm sorry. You coming in on 6 days of notice? I mean, no, you're not going to do that. I mean, it's a disadvantage for both of them. But
wasn't the Ben Askren fight like a late notice fight for him, too?
I don't remember.
I'm going to have to go back and check that. Yeah. All right.
But this one, not against Kamaru. No, I don't think Kamaru's going. I want to say Kamaru.
No one thought he would starch Ben Askren. Not even starch Ben Askren. People just knew that that Jorge was going to have a difficult time dealing with the wrestling.
And I was one of them. I was one of those people like, not your day today, Masvidal. And
here's another component to this piece. Jorge's original weight class was 155. So at 170, he's a smaller guy. Kamaru walks around at 200 to 195.
He's coming in with power. You got power wrestling versus cunning, wit.
I think Jorge today, I heard him in an interview. He said that he had ballooned up and was pretty fat coming into this right out the gate. I think he said he came in at like 192 on Sunday. So he's got, you know, 22 plus pounds to lose.
He'll lose it.
Yeah, he'll definitely lose it. But that is a very draining feat to accomplish in 6 days.
But you know what? Even after what Platinum Mike Perry did in his last fight, I don't believe anything that they're saying. Okay, because Mike Perry, we all said, oh, he's just got one person coming to his corner.
Not even one person. He got his girlfriend.
Girlfriend. Okay.
You guys won't even let me have my girlfriend on the show.
Mike Perry. No. Oh no. We told you to figure it out.
No, it's not me. It's not me and John. It's Kelechi.
Yeah, he's not teasing people. We were like, bring her on. We need a fourth one in here. And he was like, no. Okay.
She chickened out.
No, I'm seriously, it's not Kelechi. I was just, because he's not here to defend himself. All right.
I regardless of the fact, what I'm saying is Kamaru Usman, Jorge Masvidal. This is a great matchup, ladies and gentlemen.
This is gonna be a monster of a fight.
And you know what? There's some heat between the two of them. They've been going at it. If you go back and look at some of the UFC embedded, if you go back Super Bowl weekend, some of the press conferences that are going on, there's some real banter between these two.
Oh yeah, and it's real. It's real. There's a lot of disrespect going on, and there's only way that you can gain somebody's respect at this point, and that's put them someplace in clothes and let them beat it out of each other.
So
Ryan, we yet to hear your pick on this one.
Oh, well, you know, I still discount the outcome of the Ben Askren fight. It was a beautiful thing that Jorge Masvidal did. Clearly, we've got video evidence that he practiced that flying knee. But I'm telling you, the flying knee does not land that cleanly 9 times out of 10.
He just needs one.
He got that one. Jackpot. He got it. But now what is he going to do? Because my whole assessment of the Jorge Masvidal-Ben Askren fight is that if you go back to Jorge Masvidal's career, we're not counting Ben Askren, you go back to the rest of his career, he has maybe one, and I think it's Jake Ellenberger, wrestler in his career that he's fought.
Okay. I was gonna say that he's beat. Okay.
You know, and so when you start looking at that, all of these, he is not a wrestler. And you got somebody in Kamaru Usman who went up and came up through the grimy wrestling circuit to get to college and become, you know, a great wrestler that way. John Jones said, you know, you can be taught to strike. You can be taught submissions in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but wrestling is a lifestyle, and if you don't grow up in it, you can't be taught all of those unwritten rules and all of those things that you learn as you come up through the sport. And so that's the thing that I think is the gap that Jorge Masvidal in 6 days is not going to be able to overcome. How do you prepare for someone like Kamaru Usman who other wrestlers don't want to wrestle?
You don't prepare for him. But because you know Kamaru is going to shoot for takedowns, you do have the one-up advantage because all you need is that one lucky knee.
Yeah.
Like this is what you guys are – you're putting Jorge Masvidal's hopes on a lucky knee.
I wouldn't even call it lucky.
25-minute fight.
We've seen what he can do with that one knee.
Yes, yeah. But it's
you're Go ahead.
We're talking possibility. We're not talking probability.
The probability is that Kamaru Usman is going to shoot for multiple takedowns. We know we got a 5-round fight. We know that we're probably going to at least see 2 rounds. So we know we're going to at least see 2 shots for takedowns.
Okay. You know what? Khabib Nurmagomedov, we know he's going to shoot.
Nobody was throwing Japanese at Khabib.
But I'm just saying, everybody knows what Khabib Nurmagomedov is going to do. There's, you could get a lucky knee on Khabib Nurmagomedov. You could.
The difference is that Khabib would not go straight to the shoot. He will box you around a little bit.
So what makes you think that Kamaru Usman's going to go straight for the shoot, knowing
seen it.
Knowing
we've seen him do it, but he probably won't. He probably won't in this fight for the simple fact that he saw the results from last time.
Least, he's not going to come across the ring when they say go. He's not going to come across the ring. He's going to let Jorge Masvidal come to him. A lot of his takedowns are not power takedowns anyway. He gets you up on the cage and he drags you down to the ground after grappling, and then he holds you there and then he beats you up. But you also have to think about the fact that Kamaru Usman, you guys have said it yourself, he is a big 170-pounder. So he could stand there and bang with Jorge Masvidal.
I think we're going to see out the gate. I think Kamaru's going to decide to go out and kind of bang with him just to go ahead and up his skill level in striking and to show the rest of the division that, hey, I'm not a one-dimensional fighter. You saw with Colby Covington was not a fluke.
Or he can be stupid and prideful and try and go for that shoot to show the world that what Jorge did to the last wrestler isn't what's going to happen to this wrestler.
I don't think we're going to see him shoot until we see Jorge piece him up a couple of times first.
Yeah, I think the adage is true that, you know, good strikers make wrestlers out of everybody, right? And so mm-hmm. if Jorge Masvidal is the striker that we know he is, then yeah, I think Kamaru Usman's going to end up taking the fight down. I think that everybody should learn a lesson from what happened with DC and Stipe Miocic. When you are a wrestler and you have that advantage, yeah, you can win some of those striking exchanges, but put the fight where you know the other fighter can't fight. And that's why wouldn't Kamaru Usman go ahead, test his skill on the striking? He believes that he can strike, and he's knocked some folks out. So, yeah, I could see him coming out and striking with Jorge Masvidal for a little while. But I think that he can almost guarantee a win if he takes the fight to the ground, because where they may be even or Jorge has the edge, there is no competition when the fight goes to the ground. That's where the fight should be. That's the advantage of being a wrestler. You get to dictate where the fight takes place. Kamaru Usman has every advantage coming into this fight. If he loses this fight, I'm guaranteeing you it's because of some type of stupid decision that he is trying to prove something that he shouldn't be doing. And it doesn't seem characteristic of me to say that Kamaru Usman has made those types of decisions in the past. He's been smart, he's been conservative, and he's done what he needs to do to win. That's why I think he's only lost 1, maybe 2 rounds in his entire career.
So,
and that was last fight. So I got Jorge Masvidal. No, I got Kamaru Usman, dude. I don't know if he's going to finish him, but it's going to be a dominant fight.
Yeah.
So I made a bet today that Kamaru will win, but on the show, I'm going to pick Jorge Masvidal. So I bet against myself already.
You hedging your own bet, sir?
Hedging my own bet. Oh, on the bet, I picked Kamaru, but for the show, I'm picking Jorge Street Jesus.
He gonna need a miracle.
He gonna need him. Yeah, he gonna need Jesus.
Oh, so here's the thing that I wanted to tell you. Okay, now that we made our picks, this is the thing I want to tell you. Mm-hmm. My prediction is that Jorge Masvidal does not make championship weight, and they end up fighting for the BMF belt instead.
Mm. The belt that you don't like? The belt that you despise?
Yes, that is the one. The same. One and the same.
Okay. Because I think fighting for that belt anyway. Because I think something tells me that if Kamaru wins, he's going to be wanting that belt.
Oh, he's talking about it. He said. Yeah, we didn't cover the story, but it's on the run sheet. Kamaru said that he is excited about fighting Jorge Masvidal because he's going to punch him in the face and take his BMF belt.
Ooh.
The BMF belt doesn't mean anything, but if
Jorge
Masvidal,
it could get you to renegotiate your contract after you just signed a 10-fight deal.
If Jorge Masvidal has 6 days to make weight in Abu Dhabi, okay,
in a desert. Let's put it out there. He's going to make. You think he can't make weight in a desert?
It's dry. You can't sweat.
No, we'll see.
It's the problem. We'll in the desert, you can't sweat.
I'm sure we can find a way to sweat.
There's
in
no
desert.
Humidity.
Okay. All
right. I'm just saying. My prediction is that he's going to miss weight, and it's going to be for the BMF belt, and that's how they're going to save it. If I'm right, you don't even want to come to the show on Monday next week.
Oh, I do.
I'm coming back.
I like where you're headed with this.
I want to see how this story unfolds.
And maybe that's why they paid all of that money to get Jorge Masvidal, because they knew that Colby Covington wasn't going to be able to cut that weight and make championship weight to make this a legitimate championship fight. They knew that anybody else they were going to bring in 6 days wasn't going to be able to do it. But if Jorge does it, then you've got a championship fight. If he doesn't, you at least can make it for the BMF belt, which I think is probably the safer option given the other options we talked about. Bring in this full circle, and that's why you should follow us on social media. On Instagram, I'm at Combat Sports Talk.
And I like how he wrapped this up. He was over there looking at the clock like, oh, we ran in 20 minutes late.
Yeah, and then he tried to put the pseudo B-boy stance on. Look at him.
Oh, I wish I could show the fans how much of the run sheet we left off.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's our fault. It's that 30 minutes, man.
Sat there and talked about
it. It's John Jones' fault.
We blame John Jones.
Speaking of John Jones, I know we got an after the bell, probably starting here in a minute. I know you're trying to wrap it up. So where were you at on social media, Ryan?
At Combat Sports Talk on Instagram and MMA Podcaster on Twitter.
I heard you got a webpage too called Ryan Smith Says or something like that. Yeah. Is that true?
That is true. I have a blog where I talk about society and culture called Ryan Smith Says.
And there's an article on that right now that is really good.
I saw an interesting article on that. Yes. As a matter of fact, I did. Thank you, John.
No problem, man. I'll be out there.
We're gonna do this on Combat Sports Talk. We're gonna do this on this show. We'll talk about it. Well, thank you. First of all, thank you for your kind words about the article that I wrote. But let's wrap this up.
All right. Well, my name is George Stallworth, ladies and gentlemen. You can find me on social media, particularly Instagram at darkside_MMA_. Please check me out when you have an opportunity. And Anthony Rumble Johnson, if you are looking for a coach, if you're looking for a head trainer, if you're looking for just a pad man, if you're looking for a corner man, if you're like Mike Perry and just want a girlfriend in the corner to rub ice on your back, I will be your guy.
Nice. John Keys?
I don't know how to follow that up. I'm John Keys, and you can find me at Keys to Victory, and that's Keys with an ES. I'm also on Facebook. You can look at me there because I act a complete fool more there than anywhere else in the world.
All right.
You were forewarned.
All right. Well, follow us on our website is www.combatsportstalk.com. Here up above me are all the different social media platforms you can find us on. So find us there. YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Apple Podcasts, Periscope, Spotify. We're everywhere you want to be.
We all up in your area, player.
There it is. Shout out to MMA Junkie, MMA Fighting, MMA Mania, Bloody Elbow, and our boys over in the Intelligent Defense Discussion Group on Facebook. If you guys have Facebook and you still are on that platform, come join us on the Intelligent Defense Group. That's where we have conversations like this. All the other sites we want to shout out to that provide us the stories that we use on our show. On behalf of George G. Money Stallworth and John Keys, my name is Ryan Smith, reminding you to keep your hands up, your chin tucked, and throw bombs. We'll catch you next time.